They want to show it off, just as they are. Those are good ones. Theo was quiet for a minute, then looked over at me, caught my rapt expression, and shifted on the bench.
Okay, story time's over. I'm ready for that drink now.
We strolled along the street in search of a cafe. My eyes kept stealing glances at this man beside me. Realizing Theo wasn't only there for Jonah during the worst moments of his life. He was there for a lot of other people, too. Taking their pain, listening to it, deconstructing it, turning it around, and giving it back to them as a piece of art, uniquely their own, just as pain is unique to the person who bears it. "Have you ever told Helen's story to your dad?" I asked. Theo shook his head.
"Why bother? He's made up his mind."
I linked my arm in his. "I can't wait to get my tattoo from you. Now, more than ever."
"You know what you want?"
"Nope," I said, smiling up at him. "Don't know yet which story of mine I want you to tell." Theo's brow furrowed, and a funny smile came over his lips. His expression was amused, but I'd come to see that Theo's feelings were all in his eyes. And right now, he was touched. We stopped at a small cafe where Theo had a beer and I had a strawberry lemonade.
"You don't mind I have this?"
he said, raising his bottle. If I were to ask people not to drink around me, I'd stop being invited to parties. Theo snorted a laugh.
"I need some fries or something. You want anything else?"
"I want that dress," I said, pointing at the window of a vintage clothing store across the street. In its window was a house dress, something out of the 1940s, with hundreds of tiny green apples on it and red buttons down the front. "Perfect for tonight," I said, grinning at Teddy. "We're gonna do it up in real Nolan style." We started getting ready around 7. I put on the retro house dress, and instead of heels, I went for black, high-heeled Mary Janes. They complemented the black of my tattoos, while bright red matte lipstick and black cat eye liner completed the look. I emerged from the bedroom to find Theo wearing his simple black shirt and jeans, his tattoos snaking down his arms. He needs a watch, I thought. A watch would draw attention to his muscle definition and contrast the ink. We drove out to Louie's Louisiana Kitchen, a Cajun restaurant near the river that also hosted nightly musical acts. It was an older, more classic New Orleans joint, with no air conditioning, no fancy decor, and no world-class chef. Just real, authentic Cajun food and jazz music by local artists. I remembered the night I first met Dina and Oscar. We'd eaten at the Cajun restaurant in the MGM Grand. Theo had a thing for ultra-spicy food. "If you want spicy, this place is it," I shouted to him in the crowded line waiting to see the hostess. "Hottest jambalaya in New Orleans." He narrowed his eyes at the challenge.
"We'll see about that."
The place was packed. Apparently, the band playing tonight was hugely popular. A bluesy quartet with a young, sultry female singer. I'd made reservations, but even the front entry was crammed like a dance club and stifling hot. The last vestiges of summer. Sweat beaded on my brow, threatening my makeup. Theo stood just ahead of me as we waited, while a cocktail waitress came around handing out free short glasses of beer to help ease the wait. The guy behind me, a skinny, pale man in his early 20s with red-rimmed eyes and a rumpled shirt, took 2 glasses and downed them quick. Judging by his look and the smell of hard liquor that wafted off of him, those beers weren't his first of the night.
"Hey,"
he said, nudging me.
"You a sweet little thing, ain't you?"
I rolled my eyes and turned away to face Theo's broad back. Sweat glistened on the back of his neck, turning the hair into little barbs.
Hey.
The guy nudged me again. He leaned in close enough that the stringent smell of booze on his breath was actually a mist on my cheek.
I'll bet you taste sweet, like candy,
he chuckled.
Can I have a lick?
Unfortunately for him, a lull in the music came at that exact instant. Theo spun around, his eyes boring into the drunk guy with a dangerous intensity.
What the fuck did you just say to her?
The drunk guy held up his hands.
Sorry, man. Didn't realize she was yours.
Don't apologize to me,
Theo said. He wasn't a super tall guy, but he had at least 50 pounds more muscle on him. He jerked his thumb at me.
Apologize to her.
The guy thought about it for a moment, then snorted a wet laugh and staggered a little, jostling me again. A muscle in Theo's jaw twitched.
You're standing too close to her.
He laid his hand calmly on the guy's chest.
Fuck.
He gave a small shove.
Off.
The guy staggered a step or two back and held up his hands again, his laughter gone.
All right, man, be cool.
Theo's eyes remained locked on his in warning for another second. Then he put his arm around me and pulled me in front of him, keeping me in the protective circle for the rest of our slow migration to the hostess stand. Reservation? The hostess asked, and it took me a second to realize she was talking to me. Two, I said. Dawson. My heart was still thumping loudly in my chest, and the heat flushing my cheeks had nothing to do with the lack of air conditioning. The way Theo handled that guy. I wasn't a fan of violence, but some strange, primal urge in me almost hoped the guy had pushed Theo back, just so I could watch Theo defend me again. Protect me, because I was his to protect.
Oh my God, get a grip.
You're setting the feminist movement back 50 years. The hostess sat us at a tiny table. I fanned myself with the menu while Theo studied his intently, totally oblivious to my reaction. It took an eternity for the waiter to show up, then another eternity to bring the food. When it finally arrived, chicken fricassee for me and shrimp jambalaya for Theo. My dinner date took one taste, wrinkled his nose, and started pouring on more hot sauce. Are you crazy? I said, laughing. My mouth hurts just looking at that.
It was warmish,
Theo said with a grin.
Now it's satisfactory. Barely.
I shook my head, my chin in my hand. You must have been a fire eater in a past life. He laughed, and we dug into the hot Louisiana night and the hotter dinner. The pre-show music hung in the heavy, humid air like pungent smoke. I imagined spirits dancing in the shadows in this city of vampires and voodoo. We talked easily, and he laughed readily, drinking beer to my lemonade. Still, something in me felt tipsy, high and exhilarated, my thoughts running unchecked down a road I'd never taken before. Jonah once told me I went up to 11. Theo went up to 100, I mused. Nothing ever halfway. He was the kind of man who, if you wronged him or hurt someone he loved, he'd cut you off without another word. But if he was yours, he was yours for life. If he was mine. The thought startled me so badly, I nearly knocked over my lemonade glass. Theo glanced up from his food.
You okay?
I nodded, noticing his eyes were watering. I jerked my chin at his plate. Why do you eat that if it's so hot?
I like it.
It looks painful. He gave a lopsided grin.
Hurts so good.
God, you're such a man.
Last I checked.
I laughed, and the other half of his smile widened before he went back to his food. I started into my dish, but my eyes kept straying to Theo. He took a too big bite of his jambalaya, sweat beading his brow because he'd made it inferno level hot. On purpose. He washed down the shrimp with a chug of beer, blowing out his cheeks, then hunched over his plate, intent, both inked forearms on the table, gearing up for another huge mouthful. I wondered if I'd taste the heat on his tongue if he kissed me. My knee jumped, sending my napkin to the floor. I bent to get it, not coming back up until my face was composed. God, this atmosphere in this place was making me stupid. Theo took another steaming forkful of spicy food. Another bead of sweat slid down his temple as he licked his lips. Oh yes, without a doubt, if I kissed him, he'd burn me.
I got something in my teeth?
I blinked at him. No, nothing. Just thinking.
About what?
Theo asked. His eyes stayed on me as his lips wrapped around the beer bottle and took a swig. I watched the swallow go down his throat. All my sordid thoughts visible on my face, or spelled out in neon flashing above me. A blush inflamed my cheeks as I fought for an answer. This place has a lot of atmosphere, I finally said. God, are you serious? Theo nodded and another dark look came over him, similar to the one he'd worn confronting the drunk guy in line. Only now, it was turned on me. His whiskey-colored eyes igniting another primal urge. Theo, shirtless and sweaty, putting a flat hand on my chest and curling his fingers into the fabric of my dress. Instead of pushing me away, he hauled me roughly to him, intent on taking what was his. Oh my God. My eyes were trapped by his stare, my body trapped in the chair, by a sweet ache of longing burning between my legs. I didn't blink. He didn't look away. With loud drum riff and a glissando down the piano keys, the live music began, finally tearing my eyes free. The band was fronted by a young woman with long brown hair, wearing a fedora hat, black leather jeans, and a white shirt with a black vest. Three African-American men made up her band of guitar, piano, and bass. They opened with a slow song that permeated the air like fragrant smoke. I concentrated on the music, pretending to listen and resolutely not looking at Theo. But the damn music was bluesy, sexy, a slow burn of want and longing. It dialed into my already aching body, filling me with a need to be touched. A shadow fell over me, and I looked up to see Theo standing, his hand outstretched.
Dance with me.
It wasn't a request, and my traitorous body was already rising to its feet before I could think. Theo took my hand in his and led me to the small dance floor, where a dozen other couples were swaying to the music. Some, driven by the sultry tones of the song and the singer's smoky voice, were grinding their hips together, thighs intertwined. Theo slung my arms around his neck, then put his hands on my hips and began to move. I'd never stood this close to Theo before. Our bodies pressed tight, our faces so close. I could smell the sweet heat of his food, the bitterness of beer, the salt of his sweat. His heart beat thick against mine, the ragged exhale of his breath. You told me at the wedding you didn't dance, I said. every part of my body conscious of touching every part of his. His mouth shaped the words. I lied. But no sound reached me over the music. I could barely breathe. I was losing myself in him. Our eyes locked. I couldn't look anywhere but at him. The light brown of his eyes fiery, like a shot of whiskey backlit by a white-hot flame. His hips ground a slow circle against mine. His thigh inching between my legs. One arm slid around my waist. The other came up the middle of my back, holding me close. My arms wound around his neck. My fingers burrowed into his damp hair.
I like this,
he murmured. His whole body was flush against mine. I could feel its power, the strength of his muscles holding and moving me with the music. The hollow of his neck glistened. I felt my own sweat slide over my collarbone and between my breasts. My blood was on fire in a way that was entirely separate from the Louisiana summer. A heat Theo was building in me with every roll of his pelvis against mine. I felt the stiffness of his jeans against my skin as his hand slipped down to my ass, pressing me tighter against him, grinding into a dance that felt more like foreplay. My breath caught as Theo's forehead came to touch mine. Our gazes locked. Deep within, a greedy instinct and a growing need I hadn't felt in a long time. I hooked one leg around his waist. Touch me, I breathed. He made a noise deep in his chest, and his hand slid under my dress, up my thigh to my hip, pulling me into him. I bit back a cry as he dipped me back. I let my head fall, arching. He bent with me, his mouth on my throat, his tongue sliding against my skin. Feverish. Burning from the inside out. His touch was scorching, sending trails of fire across my skin in every direction. My nipples hardened. Heat pooled between my thighs where Theo ground against me mercilessly. Slowly, his lips dragged up my neck, then my chin, both of us pulling upright until we were face to face again. The look in Theo's eyes, the almost feral hunger, stole my breath.
Case, he whispered.
I expected his kiss. It was right there between us, waiting hungrily. I didn't expect his hands, so rough and hard before, to hold my face gently. I didn't anticipate the furrow of his brows, almost as if he were in pain. I tilted my chin, wanting this, needing this so badly. Please. He laid his lips to mine, kissing me softly, slowly. The world turned around us, blurring and disappearing. I had to hold onto his wrists to keep from slipping away with it, gasping at the sensation that came roaring to life inside me. A match lit in a dark room, flaring with brilliant light. My lips parted with that gasp, and Theo, with a growl of pure want, kissed me again, this time hard and deep. I wrapped my arms around his neck, clinging to him, opened my mouth to take all of his kiss. The taste of his tongue, the heat of his mouth. We started dancing again, our bodies acting of their own volition, our mouths opening and closing, heads tilting back and forth. Our tongues slid and tangled when the kiss went deep. Teeth and lips bit and sucked when it turned shallow. On and on, we danced, and in the back of my delirium, I knew I'd been right about Theo. If you had him, you had all of him. His kiss was the purest essence of himself. Intense, fiery, devoted entirely to the moment. This close, he was my entire world, with no place for anything else. His body pressed to mine, his hands on my body, his sweat, his mouth. He was so much. My instinct balked, used to thinking it was too much. But no. He was giving me everything, and I was taking it. I could take it. And I wanted more. Oh, God. I breathed into his mouth. He replied with a groan, and I took it in, inhaled him as he kissed me again. We kissed until the song ended, and the applause of the crowd broke the spell. Slowly, the circle we'd been turning in ceased. My feet felt the floor again, our bodies detached. The real world rematerialized. We remained on the dance floor a moment longer, our eyes searching each other for I didn't know what. Both of us blinking and dazed, as if coming out of a trance. We walked back to our table, me on shaking legs, and I drank deep from my water glass, trying to quench the swirl of boiling emotions in my body.
You want to get out of here?
Theo asked, his voice hoarse with desire. I could see it burning in his eyes. I nodded, my body screaming for his, while the realization of what just happened was seeping into the cracks of my broken heart. And I didn't know if it was harming or healing them. Outside, the air was cooler, a bracing slug to my slushy mind. I sensed Theo coming down off the high, too. The lust waning, thinking twice, and starting to ask questions. The cab ride was too long. I kept my gaze locked on my window, where I could just make out Theo's reflection beside me, his features sharpened into hard angles of frustration. When the cab finally pulled up in front of my house, Theo tossed some money into the front seat, and we climbed out. My hands were shaking as I fumbled the key in the lock, and once in my living room, I froze. I wanted him to leave. I wanted him to stay. I wanted to curl up alone on my bed and cry. I wanted to drag him into my bedroom, have him tear my clothes off, take me hard and deep until we both found relief. I wanted to cry for betraying what I'd had with Jonah. I wanted to cry because kissing Theo felt like nothing I'd known since. Happiness burned within the fire, a glowing treasure I couldn't reach without getting burned. My eyes filled with the deluge of swirling emotions. I couldn't hold them back, my shoulders hunched, and I hugged myself.
Oh, God, Casey,
Theo said, moving around to face me. He cupped my cheeks in his hands.
Don't cry, baby, please.
I shook my head, fighting for control. No, it's okay, I heard myself say, trying to explain the unexplainable. It's just... it's the first kiss since... Theo took a step back, his hands falling to his sides.
Fuck, Case, I'm sorry.
Don't. I don't know what I'm trying to say or what I feel. It's nothing to be sorry for. It's not your fault.
It's not yours either,
he said.
We just got caught up in the moment. I looked sharply up at him.
Did we? Theo stared at me a moment, his whiskey-colored eyes soft and warm.
Yeah,
he said, carving his fingers through his hair.
We got caught up in the moment. The place, the song, the mood. It was like a drug.
I felt a tug in my chest, then a sharp pain, straight through my heart. Yeah, I guess so, I said.
I'm going back to Vegas,
Theo said.
Tonight. I think it's best.
No, I thought, even as I nodded my head. Okay. I think maybe you should. I need to think. God, I don't know what I need. I looked at him, so stoic and kind, willing to do anything for me, to do the right thing. I'm so sorry.
Don't be sorry,
he said, moving to hold me, pressing me to his broad chest.
Do not ever be sorry. Not with me.
As suddenly as his arms closed around me, they then released. He tossed his things in his bag, and in minutes, he was at the door, leaving.
I'll call you when I land.
Okay, I said. Teddy? He stopped at the door.
Yeah.
Thank you. A ghost of a smile touched his mouth. Then he was gone. Chapter 28. Casey. I threw open the kitchen window. Yvonne? From inside her house came a muffled reply.
It's late, baby.
I kissed Teddy.
I'll be right over.
5 minutes later, Yvonne busted in the front door, a half liter of seltzer water tucked under one arm, a bottle of cranberry juice under the other.
This occasion calls for wine, but seeing as you're on the wagon, this is the best I can do. Short notice.
I sank onto my couch, my fingers trailing over my lips, as Yvonne busied herself in my kitchen, scooping ice and pouring drinks. She came back and pressed a cranberry and seltzer into my hand. She dropped into the easy chair facing me.
Tell me everything.
Teddy kissed me, and I kissed him back. A lot. And it was magnificent.
Magnificent? Honey, that's a good thing.
So good, I started crying. So of course he thought he did something wrong and backed off. I couldn't tell him the truth. That I cried because it felt so good. It felt right. But then, 10 seconds later, I'm wracked with guilt. I always felt like I had my first kiss with Jonah. Now I'm kissing Teddy, and it's the first after the first.
What did he say about it?
I took a sip of my drink without tasting it. That we were caught up in the moment? But I think he was giving me an out. I'm sure I looked stricken with guilt.
Where is he now?
Flying back to Vegas. I read the disapproving downturn of her lips. No, it's good. He's such a good man, Yvonne. He knew it was too much. If he stayed, we would have slept together. And I am not of sound mind. He knew it, so he left. And as if my feelings aren't fucked up enough, Now I wish he hadn't. I looked up at her tearfully. He's my best friend. I can't lose him.
You don't have to lose him, honey,
Yvonne said.
Maybe what you two have is changing into something else.
Oh, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I leaned over my knees and held my head in my hands. Tell me what to do, Yvonne. I'm begging you.
Sleep on it, baby, Yvonne said. That's all I got. Sleep and see how it all looks in the morning. And Casey?
I looked up through my hair. Yeah?
The feeling you have in that moment, right as you wake up, before your brain mucks it all up with thoughts and words. That very first feeling is where the truth lives.
I sat for a long time after she left, mustering the courage to go to my bedroom. The universe orb on my dresser glowed in the yellow lamplight. I didn't touch it. It didn't feel right to touch it with Theo all over me. I rested my chin on the dresser and watched the light play over the stars, shine across the red and green surface of the planet. I danced with Teddy, I said, my voice shaking. No, that's not right. We danced like we were fucking. And then we kissed. I kissed him, and it was... I swallowed hard. It was good. It felt so good. But even before that, we went out. We had a good time together. We ate good food and laughed and talked. We lived. Tears blurred the orb into a dark ball, the stars inside glowing but silent. This isn't supposed to happen, is it? I whispered. Teddy and me? The idea of being with anyone but you is awful to me. And yet with him, it feels good. It feels real. I wanted Theo with me. I hadn't realized until he kissed me how much I missed intimate contact. The nearness of a man, his breath warm on my skin, the presence of him in my space, touching me. I wanted it right now. Wanted him holding me, kissing me again. Kissing me all night. Loving me hard. Heated and sweaty and rough and raw. I don't know what I'm doing, I muttered, turning to my bed. I buried my face in the pillow, willing my body to cool down. After being so cold for so long, a bone-chilling loneliness, drowning in icy tears, numb to anyone's touch. Now I couldn't take the heat of a man who wasn't Jonah. I tossed and turned for hours, rationalizing, justifying. I tried to write off the whole incident to plain old-fashioned lust. I got caught up in the moment, just like Theo said. And who wouldn't? Theo was gorgeous. Packed in muscle, tattooed, and sexy as hell. If he moved in bed like he did on the dance floor... Oh, God, stop! When I finally started to slip under, it wasn't to feelings of pure lust or the feel of Theo's body against mine or even the delicious heat of his kiss. It was his smile. I don't think I'd ever seen Theo's smile so broad and unguarded. Dancing with me, he'd shed the burden of grief and responsibilities. for a few short hours, I'd made him happy. And when I woke up the next morning, the first feeling in my heart was the desire to make him happy again.
Chapter 29. Theo. Sunday dinner with my parents was the last fucking thing I wanted to do, but I couldn't say no. We sat on the patio, and Mom tried to keep up the chatter over plates of roasted chicken and asparagus. Dad shoveled his food in with hardly a word. I kept sneaking glances at my phone and the one text from Casey. "Wanted to make sure you got in okay," I'd replied. "I did, thanks." But nothing after. I fucked it all up, I thought for the millionth time. I was drunk last night. Drunk on the food, the beer, and the jazz. Drunk on New Orleans and drunk on Casey. I'd lost control. The drunk asshole hitting on her awoke something in me, a desire to fight for her, kill anything that threatened her, followed by the more potent urge to have her afterward, to mark her as mine with my mouth and hands, strip her bare and fuck her hard until the only thought in her head was me. The only name screaming in her mouth was mine. She looked at me like I was already naked, her eyes raking me up and down, her lips parted, and her tongue running along the seam. "This is it," I'd thought. "The end of my long and agonizing wait." But no. She wasn't ready. She might never be ready. Worse, we couldn't rewind and put everything back the way it was before. Kissing changed everything. "So," Mom said, breaking me out of my thoughts. "What's the good news this week?" She reached over and patted my hand. "Other than graduation." I glanced at my dad, who kept his head down, intent on his food. "I do have news, actually. I started a new tattoo series called Unfinished Ink."
"Is that so?" My mom smiled and spooned herself more mashed potatoes.
"My coworker showed the series to Inked Magazine, and they're going to do a feature on me."
"Oh, that's wonderful." Mom leaned toward Dad. "Isn't that wonderful, Henry?"
My dad sipped his cocktail and raised his chin, as if pondering this, lips pursed, inhaling deeply through his nose. "It could be really good," I said, hating how fucking pathetic this whole scene was, to beg like a dog for a scrap. And yet I couldn't stop myself. The publicity would give me a boost when I get my own place. My father's lips drew down farther, which meant he was formulating his thoughts. I hated those few seconds, as my stupid heart always swelled with hope and anticipation that this time he would say, "Well done, son. I'm proud of you." It wasn't this time.
"The market in Vegas is terrible for new business," he said. "For any business. Nick Sullivan over at the commercial real estate office says growth has been slowing. Not to mention Las Vegas already has about 100 tattoo shops."
"Bit of an exaggeration, don't you think, dear?" Mom asked, her eyes darting between us.
"I can't drive 10 feet without passing one," Dad said. "They're as common as the nudie joints."
I bounced my fork onto the table. "I get it. It's a shitty market. You've been saying it for a year. Because it's true. If you've learned anything in your courses, it must be how small businesses fail 80% of the time. Never mind those trying to crowd into an already saturated market." My mother's hand rested on mine.
"Henry, I'm sure Theo is aware of the risks,
but this is his dream.
You have a business degree now, Dad said. It's a wonderful achievement. I'd just like to see you put it towards something worthwhile.
He dabbed his mouth with his napkin.
I intend to, I said, through gritted teeth. I'm going to buy my own place.
God damn it, Dad, it's worthwhile to me. Why the fuck don't you get it's what I want to do?
Language, please, Dad said with a sigh, as if he'd heard this 1,000 times a day.
Mom's fingers squeezed my wrist. Theo, dear, calm down.
Yeah, I get the market's crowded, I said. But Vegas isn't the only city in the country. Maybe I'll buy a place somewhere else.
My mom gasped. You're going to leave Las Vegas?
No, I don't know. It's just an idea.
I scrubbed my hands over my face.
Mom, wait.
But she was already pushing her chair back.
Excuse me.
She hurried into the house, her hand over her mouth. My father tossed his napkin down with disgust.
See, now you've upset your mother.
He got up from the table, too. But instead of going after Mom to comfort her, I heard the door to his study slam shut.
Fuck me, I said to the sky.
My eyes found Jonah's glass lights, glowing above the now empty patio, with a table full of half-eaten dinner. The scene of a hasty getaway. I stared at the lights until they blurred into fuzzy white orbs.
Now what the fuck do I do, Jonah? She's there, I'm here.
Of course, I knew what he'd answer.
Love her.
I closed my aching eyes and rubbed my aching chest.
I do, Jonah, I whispered,
my words swallowed by the night.
I already do.
Chapter 30. Casey.
Are you sitting down?
Grant said, his voice on the speakerphone breathy and high-pitched. Phoebe shouted from the background, sit the hell down or you'll fall down, break your throat, and then Sony motherfucking Music won't want to sign you.
That's how you tell her, Grant said. Seriously, Phoebe?
I sank onto my couch. I'm sitting, I said. I swallowed over my heart pounding in my throat. Are you for real? Sony Music?
Their office just called, Grant said. They want a meeting. It's the video, Casey, closing in on 1 million views. And sales are still going strong.
We've been fielding calls from midline labels all week, including the one who has Rapid Confession. But I held out. I knew it was only a matter of time until we reeled in a big one.
The biggest fucker in the sea, Phoebe yelled. The Moby goddamn dick of labels.
Oh my God, I said, blowing air out of my cheeks. And they want a meeting? When? Where?
A week from Monday. Here. Downtown. Dude, they're sending people to us. I already said yes. If you have plans, break them.
I laughed, overwhelmed.
No plans next Monday.
Good, Grant said.
Now get dressed.
It's 6 o'clock at night, Phoebe said. You think she's walking around naked?
I meant get dressed up to go out, stupid, Grant retorted. To celebrate.
I can't go out tonight, I said.
Why?
I have to call Teddy. News this big wouldn't feel real until I told him. You guys go out and celebrate for me, okay? And hey, listen.
Yes, my queen.
None of this would be happening if it weren't for you. I'm not going to forget it.
Thanks, Casey, Grant said. This is so...
Do you know what this means? Phoebe shrieked. Oh my God, we are going to be fucking rich.
You did not just say that.
We are about making art, not money.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I busted out laughing and hung up on them, then laughed again as I wondered how long it would take them to notice. On Wednesdays, Theo had class until 10 o'clock his time, midnight mine. 6 flipping hours to kill. I could call the Olsons back and go out anyway. No, I'd be too distracted. I'd been distracted for 3 days, turning over and over again what happened with Theo. Our dance, our kiss. 3 days of radio silence. No calls, no texts, and my feelings were nowhere near sorted out. Except I miss him, and I want to make him laugh again, and make him happy. I heated up some leftover ravioli Yvonne made for me, and ate it on the couch, while watching Dirty Dancing. Which was an idiotic choice. Just watching the dancers grind together in the opening montage brought Theo's and my dance roaring back. At midnight, I turned off the lights, climbed into bed, and called him.
Hey, Casey,
he said. I leaned back against the pillows with a sigh. I loved his deep voice and how it settled into my head, sank down to my chest, made me feel warm all over. Hi. I wanted to talk about your graduation on Saturday. A pause.
Are you still coming?
Of course I am. But I can only stay until Sunday, because...
Because?
Take a guess.
Tell me or I'll kill you.
I have a meeting with the execs from Sony Music on Monday.
Are you kidding me?
They want to sign me. Can you believe that?
Hell yeah,
he said, his voice growing louder.
Damn, Case. This is incredible.
Turns out Grant was right. The video was kind of big.
Kind of. Last I checked, it kind of had close to 1 million views.
You've been checking?
Well,
a beat of silence.
About 100 of those views might be mine.
My skin flushed pink as I envisioned him watching the video over and over. I think you're so fucking beautiful. Teddy, after the graduation ceremony, I think we should talk.
Okay,
he said slowly. I've wanted to these last couple of days, I said. Almost started to. But I know you had a lot of work to finish up, and I think it's better if we talk in person.
Whatever you want, Case.
Do you want to talk about what happened?
No. I want to kiss you again.
A current of heat swept through me, and I curled up in my pillows like a burnt leaf. Teddy.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. But I already fucked up our friendship, so I might as well put it out there.
You didn't fuck anything up. Stop. I don't know what's happening either. One minute, I'm torn apart by guilt. Next minute, I'm angry about being guilty. And in between all that, I want you to kiss me again, too.
God, Casey,
he said.
What is happening?
It's commiseration, right? No one gets it but us. No one understands what we went through. We're drawn to each other for comfort. Right?
I guess so.
He said. Well, isn't it? Because you and me, together, is crazy, I exhaled. Right?
Is it?
I swallowed, a heavy swamp of emotion welling in my chest at those words. A deep warmth that spread out from my heart and a million times more potent than any lust I felt for him. My heart began to pound for fear or anticipation or... We need to talk then, I said, firming my voice. In person, at your graduation. And no kissing.
My parents are giving a dinner at their house after the ceremony. We can talk afterward.
Okay. I'll see you Saturday morning.
See you then. Night, Case.
Good night, Teddy. I ended the call and lay flat on my back, a sigh gusting out of me. My eyes found the universe orb again. It absorbed the wan light of my bedside lamp, turned the yellow to brilliant blue-white. Stars winking like diamonds in the depths of space. Or dark eyes lit with a smile.
Chapter 31. Theo. Graduation morning was bleak, the sky stretching flat and gray over Vegas. No storms were predicted, but the air felt tight and tense, full of lightning about to strike. My stomach, on the other hand, was a tornado warning. The day stretched out like an ordeal. First the ceremony to get through, then dinner and small talk at my parents' place. And then I scowled at the mirror, tying my tie for the third time. It was amber-colored, to go with my dark gray suit with a vest. I fucking hated suits. What the hell was the point wearing one today, when I'd have the cap and gown over it anyway? The coil of nerves in my stomach ratcheted up to a full-blown roll when I heard a knock at the front door. "Don't look beautiful," I mumbled. "Don't look beautiful. Don't look." I opened the door. Beautiful. She wore a silky maroon dress, high neck, puffy sleeves, draping over her lithe body and stopping mid-thigh to reveal the bottom of the sugar skull tattoo. Black platform sandals with high heels and a T-strap made her legs go up forever. Her lips were painted red, her hair piled on her head, the black silk flower from Dina's wedding tucked behind her ear. Jesus Christ, I'm a dead man. Hi to you too, she said, her eyes sweeping over me. Wow, Teddy, you look stunning. Fine, wearing a suit once in a while wasn't too bad. She cocked her head. Can I come in? I stepped aside, and the sweet scent of her perfume filled my nose, making my eyes fall shut. Are you nervous? She asked, setting her bag against the kitchen counter. Not especially, I said, battling with my tie again. I wasn't nervous at all about being handed a piece of paper by the dean of the business school. Having Casey in my presence in front of my parents all day was another story. You sure about that? She laughed. Positive. Don't fuss with the knot. You're making it crooked. She turned me toward her and gave my tie a little jerk left, then right. Perfect. Her hand brushed down my lapel, then rested on my chest for half a heartbeat. I looked down at her. Her eyes widened. She ran the tip of her tongue along her bottom lip, then bit it. I could taste our kiss. It roared into my mouth, the memory of soft lips, a sweet taste, and how she moaned softly into my throat. All I had to do was bend my head a little, and we'd kiss again. She swallowed and quickly moved away. I got you something, a graduation present. She rummaged in her bag and pulled out a small box wrapped in red paper and tied with a purple bow. "You didn't have to," I said.
"I wanted to. Open it."
I tore off the gift wrap and opened the box. A silver watch gleamed against its gray velvet holder. Clear crystal covered a large face with Roman numerals circling the perimeter. A smaller face was almost camouflaged amid gold and steel gears. It was solid and handsome, obviously handcrafted and expensive. I stared at it for a moment, touched the thick leather band, then shook my head. "I can't. It's too much."
"Too much what?"
she said, smiling as she took it out of the box. "It's a manly watch to fit your manly muscles." She laid it over my left wrist and buckled it, her fingers brushing the inside of my wrist like feathers.
"Do you see how it has two faces?"
"Yeah," I said, looking down at her head that was bent over my wrist.
"I had the small face set to New Orleans time."
She touched her chin to her shoulder and smiled, not quite looking at me. "It's only a 2-hour difference, but you'll always know what time it is where I am." She looked up at me, and I saw my reflection in the strange blue of her eyes, a dumbstruck idiot, wanting to kiss her again. Fuck the consequences.
"Do you like it?"
she asked, almost a whisper. "I love it."
"I'm glad."
Her chin tilted up higher, her lips parting for me.
"Teddy."
"My parents will be here any minute," I said, my head sinking toward hers.
"And we haven't talked yet."
Her eyes were on my mouth.
"We're talking, not kissing. Remember?"
I moved in. "Fuck talking," she gasped a little as my lips brushed hers. I pressed in, hard and demanding, groaning at the sweet taste of her on my tongue. She let loose a little cry into my mouth and fell back against the front door, her hands carving through my hair. I kissed her deep, the fire between us flaring up fast. I whispered her name as my hands slid down her back, over the silky material of her dress, down to the hem. One hand pinning her to the door, the other gliding up her thigh until my fingers brushed the lacy edge of her panties. She tilted her hips toward me, like an offering, her hands clutching my ass, keeping me tight to her. The doorbell rang.
"Knock, knock,"
my mother called from outside.
"Theo, dear,